Good morning, everybody. Wow, that was weak. Let's try that again. Good morning. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. And are there seriously Patriots fans here? One, two, three, four. Oh, dear. Yeah, exactly. You know, if Satan himself owned a football team, he would have Bill Belichick coaching it. Just saying. Before we get into the message, I would like to encourage you. How many of you know the four things that the early church devoted themselves to according to Acts chapter 2, verses 42? Bishop Henry, what's the first one? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Who knows what the next one is? They devoted themselves to the fellowship. That means they got together on a regular basis and they lived their lives together as a family. We do that here at New Hope Christian Center by having life groups. And our life groups are not an end in and of themselves, but they are designed to be a stepping stone so that you can meet people who you think you would like to get involved with on a deeper level and a deeper relationship to one another. That's why we have them. We have different teachers teaching different topics. And I am challenging you. You guys seem to respond to the word challenge. So I am challenging you on the 15th, is it February 15th, on a Wednesday night. If you are not part of a life group, we are inviting you to come to a potluck here. And at that potluck, we will have all of the teachers, and hopefully all of the people that are involved in a life group will show up. You don't even have to bring any food. If you're not part of a life group, we're asking our life group people to bring the food. So even if it's just to show up and have some really good, tasty food, it would be worth it. But my challenge to you is this. If you are not a part of a life group, ask yourself why. What is the reason? Because the Bible says that we are to be involved in one another's lives. That we are to gather together. That we are to be a family. So ask yourself, what is more important in your life that you're not doing it? What is it that keeps you from doing it? Well, I just really don't like people. You might have a problem. Well, I just don't have enough time. Actually, I'll bet you do. You just have to make the time. You have to make it a priority. You're not going to get to the point where on a Wednesday you go, I don't have anything to do. I should just go to a life group. I have just had a two-hour block of my life just dropped into my lap with nothing to do. It is not going to happen that way. You have to schedule it. You have to say, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part because my Bible says that I should. It is part of the growth process. It is part of the maturing in your walk with God and connecting with other people. So I am challenging you. If you are not a part of one, and right now, I can see your minds just going, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. I've got this to do and that to do and this and that and this and that. I'm just saying, God encourages us to do this. So be a part of it or don't. It's as simple as that. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Don't hate me for delivering the message. Speaking of the message, let's go ahead and get started. Now that I've completely lost everyone. Okay. Oh, there's a Patriots fan over there. All right. We are continuing our message on turn, part 9 in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is our recipe for growth. It is what we are to do according to the scriptures in order to grow in our relationship with God and grow in our relationship with other people. It says, if my people who are called by my name, if you call yourself a Christian, this is you. These are certain things that we are to do. Who are called by my name will humble themselves, they will pray, they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. If you want a healing in this land, and Lord knows we could use it, it starts with each and every individual person doing these things. We are to be different in the way that we live our lives. We are to be different than the world. We are to be different than the announcers on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and how rude and disrespectful and dishonoring they are to other people. We are to be different. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as for the other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. There is a way that we live our lives that is pleasing to God, which means there are ways that we live in our lives that are not pleasing to God. And it is those things that we are to turn away from. So how do we know what those things are? They're listed in the scriptures. Now, if you don't bother to open up your scriptures, you don't know those things, and you'll just live your life as you feel. But coming here to New Hope Christian Center, you are going to find out what the scriptures say, because that is what we teach. We teach the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples. This is Jesus speaking. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where most people stop. But the last part of that is really, really important. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He didn't say, and teaching them to obey some of the things that I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey the things that I have commanded you as long as it's kosher with the culture. No, it says everything that I have commanded you, you are to pass on to the believers down the road, to those people who call themselves Christians. And we've been learning out of Ephesians chapter 4, and we will finish up Ephesians chapter 4 today. And I'm going to read you 17 through 29, and then we'll pick it up in verse 30. It says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In those verses, there's a lot of things listed that we are to do and not to do. And we're going to find out what the next one is in verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you became a Christian, when you accepted the free gift of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, when you accepted that in your heart, that grace, you became a child of God, and the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Jesus said, I have to go so that I can send an advocate, so that I can send a counselor, a living person of the Trinity to live in you, to guide you, to direct you, to correct you, to rebuke you, but to guide us through this life, to do the things that God created us to do for His glory. I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I didn't do a whole lot for the glory of God. I did just about everything for the glory of Jim. But when I accept the free gift that God gave us through His Son, I am now to glorify my Heavenly Father. And when I don't, it grieves that person, the third person, or the second person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's a third. It grieves. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a personal being. They do not believe that it is a part of God. It is, they call it the wind of God. It's just the effects that you see. My Bible says that it's a person. It says, don't grieve. How do you grieve the wind? You don't. You grieve a person. So it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go back into the Old Testament because I love the Old Testament, types and shadows of things to come. And we're going to see what it says about grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute, Jim. It doesn't say a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Not as much as it does in the New Testament, but He is there. So let's take a look and see what Isaiah has to say in chapter 63, verses 7 through 10. It says, I will tell of all the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised according to all the Lord has done for us. See, the focus on Isaiah is on what God has already done for the people. The focus isn't on the people, it's on God and what He's done. Yes, the many good things He has done for Israel according to His compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. See, when God came and says, I will be your God and you will be my people, His intention was that they would do things the way He wanted them to do them. Because when we do the things that He wants us to do and we walk in obedience to His ways, we have blessings that are completely abundant available to us. Yet if we choose to disobey His ways, we forfeit those blessings. We do not have access to them. The blessings of the Lord are abundant for those who walk in obedience and rare for those who don't. People ask, well, I don't understand why God doesn't bless me. Well, you're probably walking in disobedience. Because my Bible says if you walk in my ways, if you walk according to my statutes, according to my commands, I will bless you. If you're wandering around in the darkness and stumbling and wondering where the blessings of God are, chances are you're walking in disobedience to His ways. So stop crying. Stop blaming it on God. It's amazing how many people come to me for counseling that are just complete, their lives are in shambles. Total dysfunction. And they begin to tell me about the choices that they've made, and I go, duh. You're walking completely in disobedience to His ways. And you're wondering why you don't have His blessings. Because there ain't no blessings down that road. So He says, the many good things He has done for Israel according to His compassion and many kindnesses. He says, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so He became their Savior. In all their distress, He too was distressed. When He says, I am going to be your God and you are going to be my people, when His people began to go through distress, He felt it. He feels it. When we go through pain in our lives, he feels that pain. That Holy Spirit that dwells in you feels that pain. It is part of the grief, the grieving of the Holy Spirit. It's a personal thing. And he feels it. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He redeemed, that means he paid the price. He bought them back. When we sin, we have a penalty that must be paid. When you buy something, actually that's a bad analogy. When you get a ticket, there is a penalty that must be paid. When we sin, we must pay with our own lives. We are guilty of sin, and the payment is death. And God sent his son to make that payment. His death on the cross, his blood that was shed on the cross, was the payment for our disobedience. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Whoa. So here we have a picture. The Israelites were so disobedient to God. And in my study group in Isaiah, we were finding out exactly how disobedient they were. And God sent other nations to take them into exile. He actually raised up pagan nations and pagan kings to discipline them. And it says that they grieved the Holy Spirit. This is the Old Testament. This isn't the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. Here, I'm going to give you two verses that, Aaron, you do not have. Oh, you may have them. You may have them. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Why do we have the Old Testament? So that we could learn from their mistakes. As a father, there are certain things that I didn't want my daughters to go through that I went through as a young, stupid kid. And so I would keep them from certain situations that I knew was not good for them. Even though they didn't like it, I did it for their benefit. Because I went down that road. I knew the pain and the suffering that was at the end of that road or along the way. And I didn't want them to go through that. So as a loving father, I would correct them. I would not allow them to do certain things because I was just a mean dad. No, it's because I had their best interests at heart. If you're the kind of parent that allows your kid to do anything that they want because it's your job to make them happy, I'm sorry. You are allowing them to go down some scary roads. It says that we have these things written in the past. They were written to teach us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. So what is the warning here to the Israelites? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What is the warning that we have in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Has it changed? No. It hasn't changed. And as we read through verses 17 through 29, we see those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, when we give ourselves over to sensuality, impurity, and greed, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do not put off our old self, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do not put on our new self, the one where we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we lie and when we have anger that leads to sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we give the devil a foothold, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we steal, when we allow unwholesome talk to come out of our mouths, we grieve the Holy Spirit. See, these are things that we are to do and not to do. This is the sanctification process. This is the turn. And when we don't, when we reject those things and say, this is 2017, that's old school stuff. Guess what? We grieve the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say and teach them and command them to obey everything I commanded you, everything that I've taught you, unless it just doesn't go wrong with 2017. It doesn't say that. There's no asterisk there. He says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. These are some of the things that he commanded us. And when we're disobedient, we grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. According to the scripture, we're not supposed to do that. Amen? Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. I could talk on that for like the next 6 months. But they're pretty self-explanatory. Bitterness, rage, anger. They don't have a place in the family of God, do they? When we have those things at our core, it's just part of my personality. That's just the way I am. It's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. All right, so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, all who have this hope in him purify themselves. This doesn't say all that have that hope in him is purified by him. We're justified through him and by him. But we are not purified in our bodies. That is up to us. All who have this hope in him turn from their wicked ways. All who have this hope in him sanctify themselves, consecrate themselves, set aside the old person and put on the new person. It is a process. It's not something that happens instantaneously. It is a process that we are required to make if we truly have that faith. James often talked about genuine faith. I'll show you my faith by what I do. There's a lot of people that give a lot of lip service to their faith. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yet they live just like they did when they were Gentiles. Just like they did when they were in the world. And it shouldn't be that way, according to the scriptures. It's a slow process. I'm not condemning anyone. But if you do call yourself a Christian, there is this sanctification, purification process that, according to the scriptures, has to take place. Now, do not misunderstand me. You are not saved by the sanctification process. This is for those who are already saved. You cannot earn God's love. You cannot earn your salvation. But the sanctification process is up to us. And what does it do? It eliminates all the garbage out of our lives. Because God doesn't want us to have bitterness in our lives. Bitterness, if you hang on to bitterness, and you probably got it from your parents, if you are, if you hang on to that, it can make you sick physically. I believe there are a lot of things out there that we just watch any commercial, just take a pill, You got bitterness? Here, take a pill. But you better watch out because it may cause bitterness. I don't get that. Here, take this pill for depression, but it may cause depression and suicidal thoughts. That makes no, I'll roll the dice on that one. It makes no sense, but that's the culture's answer. You know what God's answer is? Get rid of bitterness through the help of the Holy Spirit so that it won't make you sick and you don't have to go down that road. And then start suing people three years down the road and watch the commercial. Oh, did you take Peralta and Exalta and Peralta and Malalta and Exalta? Well, you may be entitled to some money. In the meantime, you have no intestine. Your colon's gone. Your hearing's gone. You can't see. Your tongue's swollen up. But you may be entitled to some money. What good is that going to do? No, God wants you to eliminate bitterness by the help of the Holy Spirit so you don't walk down that road. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than being around a person who's bitter. No, thank you. But you know what? You got to love them. You don't have to like them. You don't have to invite them over to the house. But the Bible says you got to love them. Get rid of those things. Get rid of these things. Why? Because it's for our benefit. Because if you're bitter, God can't really use you to bless other people. Because most people that are bitter are not a blessing to other people. They're a curse. Amen? All right, let's continue on. All right, so all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Wow, is right. See, if you know what to do, if you know what is right, and you blatantly say, I don't care, I'm going to live my life how I want, this verse says that you don't know him. You don't know him. You're given lip service to your faith, and it is worthless, according to James. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Now, wait a minute. I am not saying that once we know him and he knows us, and we are Christians, that we automatically quit sinning. That is not the case. But when we do sin, and we know it's a sin, there should be a repentant heart there. There are certain things that you will struggle with. You will commit the sin or by omission, but on the other end of it, you should say, oh dear God, I need your help. I'm so sorry. But if you have the attitude of, I know it's a sin, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyways, this Bible says there's some serious ramifications for that. It says if you're in him, you do not keep on sinning with that attitude. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous. Just as he is righteous, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil's work is bitterness, anger, division, slander, gossip. Those are things that he created to divide the family of God. And when we actively participate in those things, knowing that they are wrong, knowing that they are displeasing to God. The Bible says if you continue to sin, it's like you're crucifying Jesus all over again. What payment is there then? If you know you're sinning and you continue in your sin, what other payment is there? There is none. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. It's a hard attitude. And it's like when you have a little kid. Did your children, as toddlers and teens, preteens, whatever, once they knew it was wrong, they all stopped doing it? So you were all laughing because no. No. It's our human nature to continue to do what we want to do. Even when we know it's wrong, we have this nature that wants to fight against that. This says we shouldn't be that way. You're going to struggle. You're going to have difficulty. As we continue to go on, there are going to be some things that I say, that I read out of the scriptures, that are not going to be very popular to some of you. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to shy away from those things. It says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. You ready? Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. This is a decision, a blatant decision against God's will. And you're just saying, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to live my life however I want. Yet, I still call myself a Christian. This scripture right here says, no, you're not. There's a scripture in Matthew, I believe, where it's the throne judgment before God, and this group of people is standing before him, and they're saying, we did this. We healed people in your name. We did this. We did miracles in your name. And God says, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. If you harbor bitterness and hatred, and you're disobedient, and you know it, this says you're not of him. We as Christians are called to be different. Does it mean that we're automatically different? No. We all struggle in different areas. And the problem is, when we get to this point, we like to point fingers at other people. Well, at least I don't struggle like Ron struggles. Well, at least I don't struggle like Abby struggles. Have you ever seen Abby? Oh, pff, let me show you a sinner. And we like to put degrees on sin. Well, mine's not quite as bad as theirs. No, this is between you and God, period. Don't judge me because I sin differently than you. We all struggle. We all have a difficult time. We all go through seasons where we need help. And you know what? Where the best place to get that help is? First and foremost, your Heavenly Father. But he uses his kids to help, encourage, lift up, exhort, so that we can get through the difficult times. And that's where life groups come in. Getting involved in one another's lives, so that we can get through the difficult times. The problem is most people, when they start having difficulties in their families, in their marriages, or whatever it is, they hightail it and they hit the road. They're embarrassed that they're going through it. I guarantee you, there are other people that have gone through it, the exact same things that you're going through, and they could be a benefit to help you. Yet we hightail it. We leave. We try to get our act together, and then we show up when we're doing better. Where you been? Oh, I just had a real difficult time. Well, that's when your butt should be in church. Excuse my French. I don't think it's French. But it's true. This is where you should be. Because we have people here who are not going to judge you for what you're going through, but that are going to encourage you. Don't go to a therapist and get a cocktail of pills. Now, some of you have legitimate things that pills are helpful. I'm not saying do not take pills. But when we take pills for every little thing that ails us, there's something wrong. There's something horribly wrong. Verse 32, I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Verse 32 is the last verse of this section, and it encourages us to do a couple things. So we've learned what not to do. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we choose to be disobedient, blatantly disobedient of God's will, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I think it's interesting that after all of these things, all this list of things that we are to put on, that we are to take off, that we are no longer to be like, at the end of it, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. And then he says, and be forgiving. Forgiving is probably one of the most difficult things that we can do, because we're selfish. We look at it as, well, that person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Forgiveness is not for the benefit of the other person. Forgiveness is for your benefit. Because if you hang on to unforgiveness, first of all, it says that God cannot forgive you. We want God to forgive us for everything that we've done, yet we won't reciprocate that forgiveness to someone who looked at us wrong or who called me names or said horrible things or unfriended me on Facebook. Well, I don't forgive her. She doesn't deserve it. It's not for their benefit. It's for your benefit, because unforgiveness harbors bitterness and anger and slander. And those things all grieve the Holy Spirit. And they'll make you sick. And then you go and have to get a pill that will make you sick. God says, don't do these things, because I want the best for you. It's like telling your little toddler, don't stick a fork in the wall. See that outlet right there? Don't do that. Why? Because I'm a horrible, horrible father and I don't want my kids to have fun by sticking a fork in an outlet. No. I don't want them to get lit up. I don't want them to get burned. God gives us these things for our benefit. And when we become his children, we are made in his likeness and we are to be representatives of him to a world that does not know him. We are to have kindness and compassion, mercy, grace, love, gentleness, patience, humility. All the things that Jesus had. We are to be more and more like him. And when we can begin to eliminate those things that don't make us like him, we'll be far better off. Our relationships are better. Our marriages are better. Our relationships with our kids are better. Our relationships with our neighbors are better. When we live according to his ways, we live and receive his blessings. And I don't know about you, but I'll take all the blessings I can get. But in order to get access to those blessings, I need to walk in obedience. Is it easy? No, it is not. It was a piece of cake before I became a believer. I did whatever Jim wanted to do, as long as I didn't get caught. It is not easy, but he has given us his Spirit. to give us the strength and the ability to live the life that God has called you to do. He created each and every one of us for a special purpose. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And the plan is that we live according to His ways. It ain't easy, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing better. Amen? Please rise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this day. And Lord, I just pray that You would give us the strength to do what it is that You've called us to do. Help us, Heavenly Father, to walk in Your ways, to allow Your word to change our minds, our thought processes, so that our minds may be more fixed on You, so that we can walk in obedience to Your ways, even if we disagree with them, even if we don't want to. Lord, we ask for Your help. Give us the want to, Lord. First and foremost, help us to step out that first step of obedience. And we know that You will meet us right then and there. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your word. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Go Falcons.